wherever you go, however you go. For energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Hey, I'm Alan McGuire.
And I'm Jean Sutton.
And welcome to Roast Chestnuts, the podcast where we watch made for Christmas TV movies to give them the attention they deserve.
And this week we're discussing Christmas with Holly, a 2012 Hallmark.
Hallmark, yeah.
I think, yes. Yeah. Movie with Caroline Foran, the author of Owning It and one of the co-founders of the Interiors online magazine and kind of movement, we could say at this stage, Caroline. Gaff Interiors that she runs with Joe Linehan.
Yes.
And Caroline is going to talk about this movie with us for the next 53-ish minutes. Isn't that what we're doing?
Yeah, we're going to do like basically half of what all Hallmark movies are.
Yeah.
Because they're all exactly 82 to 88 minutes. So
it was very quick.
Mm.
Yeah, this one flew in comparison to a few we've been watching. And I actually think this was a very good film up there. It was Nicholas Sparks-esque.
It was.
So I'll do a brief primer of the plot.
Yeah, it gives an overview.
So we open with a mystery wedding, which doesn't really get talked about.
Never comes up again.
Yes.
Ever.
So our leading lady, Eloise Mumford is the actress's name. She, you might recognise her from 50 Shades of Grey, which is populated.
This is what I was saying, okay. She was famous.
Yeah.
Kind of, if you're a 50 Shades fan.
So outside of Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson, it's all TV actresses and TV movie actors and Rita Ora. So she plays Anna Steele's non-virgin friend in 50 Shades.
Okay, see, I haven't
She's
seen any of
those. She's very promiscuous.
Yeah, okay. In that she sleeps with one man on screen. Mm,
that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. So, but like Anna Steele in 50 Shades is like, oh my gosh, you're bad. Mm-hmm. But she's actually fine. She's in college. And then that girl is jilted at the altar. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of that scene. So I thought I had the wrong movie on for a second. I was like,
it seems like you've just jumped into an ad break for another film.
Yeah. I was like, is this some high concept Kit Kat ad or something? then we go to see a young man with a daughter or a young girl.
It's his daughter, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's been called into a parent-teacher meeting in school because the girl's not working or she's not talking. And the school are very concerned. They're
not doing her homework properly or something.
She coloured in something funny.
Yeah.
Or
it was he did it for her.
Yeah, he coloured in too well for her.
So. Oh.
Yeah.
I watched on a phone, so.
As I said, you're missing the full screen experience. Yes. Yeah. These are the details you need.
You ought to catch me up on these things.
The mise-en-scene is very important in this film. Yeah.
So I just thought like they wanted multicoloured flowers and she had done it too real to life, and I was like, oh, maybe she just like sees life through an adult lens and that's an issue or something. I was like the school were being way,
that's very deep.
Yeah, I was like, the school were being
probably a little bit deep for Christmas with Holly. Yeah.
Yeah,
so he's called in, but they want to hold her back here, and then they mention putting her on meds, which I was like, sorry, your teachers, no one in here is a doctor.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
So the girl has suffered a trauma, her mother died, and this guy is
only
actually her guardian
as well.
Yeah,
and the teachers are assholes. Like, am I allowed to say that? They're just you know, oh, she's been 3 months. Sorry, your mother died 3 months ago. Give her a
break.
She
shouldn't be in school.
A child.
No.
Yeah. She should be at home, like, watching Riverdale. Probably not.
Whatever 6-year-olds watch.
Yeah, whatever they watch.
Drag Race or Zumbo's Just Desserts or something. Yeah.
His reaction to this is moving, which I love.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave. An authority figure says something and you're like, well, fuck you. I'm changing postcodes.
I have another house.
Yeah,
goodbye.
I'm going to another health board. And this guy, his name is Mark, isn't it?
And he's a bit of a... Right.
Oh, yeah, I have this.
So.
Is he?
Totally fancy, long-haired uncle slash dad, question mark.
I couldn't figure out if he was actually
attractive. He was semi-hot in the movie, and then I IMDb'd him. And
he's
way
hot.
Hotter
yeah.
in like, current times.
Got kind of, like, these cut-up eyebrows.
Yeah.
Probably a couple of piercings back in the day.
It's his hair in the film was made me not sure, I think.
Yeah, it's a bit creepy.
It's Dean from the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
It's exactly Dean. Yeah.
So the first 6 minutes has like 20 characters in it. That I was, okay, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
And the reason there's a lot going on is this is actually based on a book by a writer I read, but I haven't read this series of books. So they're cramming a lot in. So Lisa Kleypas, she's a best-selling writer in the States. She's a very big romance novelist over there.
So this is not even original script.
No, they change a lot, though, okay. I looked up online, because I've read a lot of her books and I would recommend checking her out.
Yeah.
She's really good. She's kind of been robbed of... She sells really well, but she writes better books than Nicholas Sparks. Mm. And I kind of feel like he gets a lot of due because I was like, oh, he's such a sensitive man. But I'm like, well, Lisa Kleypas has been writing stuff for years and it would be great to see some of her other movies. Because she explores domestic abuse, she explores alcoholism in a lot of movies, and actually one of the characters in this has a later on book where their alcoholism comes to a head and there's a ghost.
Oh.
So with the same books, characters?
Yeah, there's like, so they changed slightly.
Is this book one or is this a couple of books together?
This is book one.
Okay.
And in the book, the Eloise Mumford character, her husband actually dies. She's not jilted at the altar. That's another character. So they amalgamate a few.
Okay.
Characters. I did get the sense that it ended before it really started. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to it, I feel like I was checking, I got a little bit bored. I was checking the time a lot in it, and it felt like the last 10 minutes, most of the plot happened in the last 10 minutes.
Yes. So, it's a lot of build up.
We'll get to that, though.
Because there's so many characters.
Yeah.
So he heads back to his hometown, which is an island in Washington State. Mm-hmm.
Do we not know which island it is, though, do we?
No. But I think they have a few things, like Vancouver's a few islands as well.
Yeah.
It? Dance in Washington State.
Ah, they mentioned Puget Sound, so it's not Puget Sound. It's a different one. Yeah.
So I'll ask him.
Yeah.
I'm eating a mince pie, by the way.
Yeah.
That's good,
In keeping with the theme of Christmas.
We have mince pies from Tesco here. They haven't sponsored this podcast, but maybe they should.
Tesco finest mince pies.
Yes. Yeah. And he gets a ferry to the island, and it's actually shot in Nova Scotia. That's why it looks so beautiful.
Okay. And from your research.
Yeah, I did, because I was like, where is this shot? It's so beautiful.
I've been to Nova Scotia. It is beautiful up there.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
You can fly direct, can't you, from Ireland, maybe?
I stopped after on a cruise, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I only know about Nova Scotia from that episode of Friends where Ross is dating someone from Nova Scotia and he has to get the ferry up there.
It's meant to be beautiful.
It's
as Alan has attested.
For a car ferry, it has a lot of amenities. It has like a full shop with hot chocolate and stuff, which is like, it's car ferries in Waterford do not have that.
And someone mentions getting food on the ferry and I was like, what, chips? Like, it's just like, and then would you have chips made in a ferry? I don't know. Stena line, I've
bacon
never gotten
bites
a ferry.
At the most of it would
be. Maybe an apple.
Yeah.
And he runs into the jilted bride and she has a great dog and a sassy sister.
Very sassy sister.
Yeah, the sister's not very supportive.
No. She's like, you got jilted at the altar. You need to just get over that now. It was 5 days ago.
Also take my dog.
Yeah. And like is encouraging her to like, oh, get out there and get with guys. But the girl's actually traveling to the island to set up a toy shop, which I'm just wondering how much money are you going to make in a business as a toy shop on an island?
And how much money do you need to set up that in an island where there's no one there? Like, and all the toys, I don't know. Well, economically, none of it made sense to me.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Having a coffee shop makes sense. He runs a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Which
people will need
on
that.
So they meet on the boat and they have a bit of a interaction where the little girl likes the dog, the mute girl, Holly. Christmas with Holly.
Yeah.
And
Christmas with Holly, and they never actually really have Christmas with Holly, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for this big dinner, like.
Yeah, the run up to Christmas with
it's
Holly.
It's more of a Thanksgiving film.
Advent with Holly.
Yeah.
So her name is Maggie, actually, we find out, the jilted bride, and she's setting up her store, and she immediately
has a cool hat. I noticed she dresses like a cool.
She's real good
teacher.
Looking.
She's very good looking.
She's very.
She works
attractive.
Really well on screen. Like, I'm surprised she isn't doing more movies.
Yeah,
she's very charismatic presence.
She has a big Julia Roberts kind of smile.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's got that vibe. Mm. She needs to just play a hooker. Sorry, I meant sex worker.
Yes. Good. We're woke. Yeah. Continue.
So, and her hair is framed by GHD curls. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah, I really didn't like them.
Until I read novels, can't you?
I felt like they needed to be brushed out a little bit. They were a bit overdone.
They survived a ferry ride, like, you know. That doesn't
a lot
happen.
Of hairspray.
There wasn't enough frizz there. And she fires the old lady she hired as the manager immediately.
That woman was not nice.
She was not nice.
She was patronising as hell.
Yeah, but...
And the absolute state of the store from an interiors perspective, like, get rid of her.
They were garish pinks, weren't they?
They were offensive. They're violent pinks.
That rose blush wall she wanted.
Yeah,
was
it's like
bad.
That's not rose blush. That's vomit. Like, it's ugh.
And an astroturf carpet.
But yeah, I was just I kind of lost interest now.
If the kids fell on the astroturf carpet, they'd be kind of scraped skin and all that. Wouldn't be nice.
Yeah, and she kept saying it would work for indoors and outdoors. And I'm like, but it's an indoor shop. Why does it matter if it's outdoor carpet?
Maybe if they knock out the window or something.
And then they do it up and then they decide halfway through, actually, the way the L1 had it was grand.
They do change the carpet up.
Okay, they change,
yeah. They changed it to the tiled one she wanted. But the thing about her firing the old lady is, I know the old lady was really annoying, but it's an island economy. Yeah. Where the hell else is that old lady going to get a job?
Well, she should have been less of a bitch.
And also, everyone's going to hear Maggie fired the old lady.
Maybe everybody hates the old lady, though. Maybe every shop on that island has rose blush and astroturf carpets, and all like, we are so sick of this woman's shit.
Yeah.
But she just insists.
I was so glad she fired her. Yeah. I was.
I felt bad.
I thought there might be like maybe one more scene of conflict with them instead of her just being gone straight away. But I guess it's because Maggie is decisive. She's kind of taken charge of her life now.
Well, the old woman could have realised the error of her ways and then said, okay, you're right. I'm just really bitter and jealous that you're coming in and taking over.
Mm-hmm.
So then Maggie ropes her sister into staying for a while. But like, the sister's not being very supportive. Like, she doesn't seem to be up to anything else. Like, she doesn't have a job. No. She's waiting for stay on the island. Like, if someone told me, Jean, listen, you have nothing to do for next week, so you want to stay on a lovely scenic island and set
I've up just
a toy shop
at the altar.
I'd just be like, look, can I move in now?
Yeah. And she doesn't even do anything physically in the shop to help her.
Yeah. So, and they're talking about Black Friday as well. They have a sale coming up, so they have to hire staff. And that's, they keep talking about Black Friday. And the sister's like, oh, how big of a thing do you think Black Friday is in the island? And I'm like, well, I love Black Friday, so shut up.
And if she set up online, like, she'll be overrun.
I have my list of things that I'm going to check out for Black Friday. And there's some shops I'm not buying stuff. It's around Thanksgiving-ish, isn't it?
It's the day after Thanksgiving, so 2 weeks,
And then there's one of the Amazon also to run offers on, like, digital Monday.
Cyber Monday.
I was like, digital whatever.
Digital Tuesday.
So I think, I didn't like the way she dismissed online shopping there.
Yeah.
If you're living on an island also, well, you wouldn't be ordering from the shops on the island, but you will be doing online shopping.
Totally.
So I felt that the younger sister wasn't clued in to consumer interests. Also, maybe that's why she shouldn't work in the shop.
Exactly.
She did not have a head for business.
And how much time had passed at this point between being here setting up and her being left the altar? Because I feel like there's a lot of expectation for her to get back out there.
Because they mentioned later on about it being 6 months.
Okay.
Still, being left at the altar, it must be traumatic.
I would say so.
Because you've your whole life lined up ahead of you and then it's gone because someone didn't show up.
Yeah, I feel like I would spend at least 6 of those months in bed under a duvet before I even thought about embarking on a new business venture. Yeah. I also really want to know what she was going to do had they got married with the toy shop.
They wanted to go to Colorado, wasn't it?
Was she working in marketing or something? Was that her job?
I think so. Yeah.
But like very quickly, it was like she had a space, she had a shop, she had the toys chosen.
Do you know, maybe her parents were like, listen, we don't want Maggie to have a psychotic breakdown. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to give her a load of money to let her do what she wants.
Maybe she has some refunds from the wedding as well.
Yeah, I'd love.
And she sold
I don't think you
presents.
Would at that stage
probably
now.
Not.
Like, you're not going to get much back. The food's been made. Yeah. And then the presents probably be taken away from me as well.
Yeah, I haven't witnessed a wedding like that myself. And in a way I wouldn't want it, but in a way I would really want it as well.
Hopefully, not someone you're too close to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we switch over to Mark, the guardian brother, uncle, and he is arriving at his new house or his family home with his brother. And the brothers were all rides, I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe not the one who was into science.
No, but having looked him up also on IMDb since, he's very attractive out of that role.
I feel like I can normally tell when a man is attractive. I'm not like precious or weird about that, but I didn't.
They all
seemed off to me.
Like, well, they seem like assholes to me. Men.
They seem like they all lose out on roles to specific people.
No.
Like the smart brother loses out to Jamie Kennedy for stuff. And then the older brother loses out to like Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Whenever Dave Grohl wants
to
be
something.
The
older brother reminded me of the guy who is in P.S. I Love You, who ends up having a romantic relationship with Holly after the death of her husband.
Your man.
You know him. He looks very like
Harry Connick Jr.
No. The other guy from Ireland. The
Galway girl.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes, exactly.
Walking Dead guy.
Okay.
He reminded me of him. Like a TV movie version. Yeah. Of him.
All the men to me looked like guys from like an early noughties Heineken ad.
Yeah.
They had that kind of aesthetic. But like, you know what? You're on an island, take what you can get. I would have taken any of them. they're all wearing sexy flannels as well.
But what are they all doing, like living together? Where I don't know. I just felt
one is
we got no
redoing the house.
Yeah, but
the other brother is an academic studying snails or something. We see if it's a book series, so they all have their own stories.
Okay. Mm. So we weren't going to get, that's what I felt like was really lacking, was any backstory or context for any single character in the entire movie.
Yeah, for why they were all estranged as well. Yeah. Because obviously Mark didn't get along well with his brothers, but we didn't really
Goes on about, doesn't, no one talks to Maggie about the jilting at the altar except her sister in a really mean way, like, get over it.
Yeah,
just to tell her that Tim has moved on already.
Yeah, I would not, if I saw my friend's boyfriend who jilts her at the altar, like, I would not tell her. I would just be, I wouldn't have any, even if I saw he was on a wanted poster, he ended up in jail, I'd be like, I'm not bringing up his name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't want to hear this.
Yeah.
She's not at the stage where she's going to relish in his downfall. And he's also engaged within 6 months.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot is ridiculous about this. But then she's like, yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah. And everyone keeps food shaming in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of food shaming. And like, they're all really skinny, so I don't know why they're...
And they try to make a real motif out of coffee drinking, which I feel is just a bit forced.
Yeah, because Mark is a co-owner of a coffee shop on the island with Carla, who deserved a plot line.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be jealous or something.
She seemed to be in love with him a lot. Which she's the one character, could be in all the films, there's a secondary female character who's in love with the main person, but it's never addressed, but they're definitely written as being in love.
Yeah.
So that was her. And I think she deserved better. She becomes friends with Maggie.
Yeah.
And she, obviously she's friends with Alex. Or
She's really nice. Scott, like, she befriends Maggie, new in the town, both business owners.
But she did give her kind of side eye. Remember that one time when they were sitting in the bar? She does give her a weird look as if, like, I'm on to you.
Yeah.
I felt that.
And then she asks her at one stage, what's your story? Has anyone ever asked you, what's your story?
No, it's pretty much all out there for the taking. Yeah. Nobody cares. Yeah.
Someone asked me at once, but she was mental.
Mm. Ah.
I just mouthed the name of the person that Caroline. Taking that to my grave, or if you DM me.
Yeah, they're all very secretive, aren't they? Like, yeah. And also, it's never said to Maggie that the guy Mark's sister died. It's never said to her. And it's never said to him why she's there, that she got jilted at the altar.
And I'd be the type of person, if like someone with that kind of trauma in their life before they arrived at a party, I'd be like, oh, don't mention this in front of Mary. Mm. Her uncle died in her car accident last week. I would mention, like, you know, just don't bring up cars, or, you know, I would contextualize somebody.
How are we supposed to believe that they're going to, you know, end up with their happily ever after on Christmas with Holly there, and neither of them have any clue about their life or any the most significant things that have happened in their life?
In these movies, though, Carolyn, people fall in love very fast.
I know.
But Maggie does find out, actually, because remember when she meets Carolyn and Scott at the bar and they make her eat a burger, they tell her.
Yeah, but isn't it weird that they never have a conversation themselves?
That they never have. Yeah, that is weird.
That's very weird.
Mm. Yeah.
That would have been a decent scene.
Yeah, it could have done a few more scenes. I felt this could have been a mini series.
Mm.
Well, it sounds like now they're pulling it apart, there's a lot of threads that need to be developed upon.
And Caroline, Scott, the hot older brother, the sexy builder, he is painting the house a bit.
Yeah.
And there's also painting going on in the shop when they're painting the blush roller.
A lot of swatches on the wall, I noticed.
What did you make of their painting methods?
I would never call myself a painting expert, but I thought they were... I thought Maggie's painting was atrocious. Did you think that? Like, I mean, I don't think you need to be interiors to know. Well, what are you doing?
She didn't even use primer.
Yeah.
Alan has a house.
It looked like she was doing it with her eyes closed. But the big brother kind of knew what he was doing, which is a shame for women, really, to be presented in that way in movies.
Yeah.
That house will be ravaged by climate change is the only thing. It's right,
I was thinking that. Yeah, the erosion.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah. It's fucked. Whatever, no matter what they do to it, it's dying, that house. So.
Oh, it's really sad.
Yeah. Everything dies.
They never considered that when they were doing their location scouting, were they?
It's a weird location for a house, actually. It's the only house on that lake, and it's just like scrubland around it. It's not a particularly pretty area besides the lake.
I thought it looked lovely. I'd love to live there.
Would you?
Yeah. I have a fantasy of like moving to the countryside.
Collecting starfish.
No, I wouldn't be into collecting starfish. I'd buy my fish at a monger's or probably a shop. Like,
to eat.
A fishmonger's in Smithfield, Stony Batter. I was like, oh, do you go there? And I'm like, no, everything I eat is out of a packet. I am not that person who gets fish wrapped in paper.
Mm.
I don't buy my grocery bags in brown paper.
I just feel really stupid when I go into a butcher's or a fishmonger's and I don't really know what I'm asking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other day I was making a beef bourguignon based on a recipe. So
saw it on Instagram.
Yeah, it was very nice. And a whole bottle of wine it takes, and I'm in the butcher's and it's like, just give me the meat for it. And he's like, well, do you want round steak? Do you want this? I'm like,
I have to Google the steak.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I still don't know. I just said, just give me whatever you have there. It'll all be grand.
Yeah. So then the brothers are all living together. They're moving in the child.
And they're very mean about the fact that the child is his responsibility. They don't want anything. It's like, it's your problem. Like, she's a little disease or something.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you were left her in the will or whatever. And they're not really...
Yeah, it's like they're jealous of him, but they also don't want to help him at all.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Like, if I had a niece or nephew and their parent had died, who was my sibling, I would be there for them. I'd like to think I'd be there for them 3 months after the death.
None of the supporting characters are particularly supportive in any role in this.
That's a really good observation, Caroline. Mm. And... So they have, they're told to like stop burping, to wear more clothes. That's good because she's a child.
Yeah. Yeah, they keep walking around naked.
Mm. And then Mark goes into town, he checks in his cafe, runs into Maggie.
Can we talk about his girlfriend?
Shelby.
Just had in my notes here, Shelby who? Question mark.
Yeah.
So.
What do we make of Shelby?
Unfairly treated.
I think she was trying quite hard.
Yeah. She bought a load of clothes for the little mute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't say the name.
This film could be called like Three Men and an Orphan if you wanted.
Yeah.
But,
although those guys were all really good surrogate dads.
Yeah.
Well, eventually they weren't at the beginning.
No, like we meet Shelby at the start briefly when he tells her he's moving back, and she takes it well enough. She doesn't. She seems put out, which is understandable.
Okay, your boyfriend is moving away.
Yeah.
But she's still portrayed. I don't know whether it's the way they've. The way she acts, maybe she's actually a really good actress, but she does get positioned as someone that we're supposed to not like.
Yeah, because doesn't she talk about skiing at one stage? And you're like, oh, evil people ski in American movies. Yeah.
And her makeup's like quite dark, with like dark lips and stuff. Yeah. And hair's all down her face as opposed to Maggie.
Yeah, and
Maggie,
only bitches wear that.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Maggie's all like bright, radiant,
glowy, angelic. Yeah.
Maggie looks great. I have it written down. Elise Mumford is so, so pretty here.
Yes.
Yeah, she's lovely looking at it. But so is Shelby. But I got really confused between Shelby and the sister both having red hair, which is an unconscious bias or a conscious bias of mine.
Yeah.
It's like the way Nocturnal Animals, the way they had the two redheads, but they were playing the same people.
Oh, yeah. Amy Adams and
your
one, the other redhead that's famous.
Isla Fisher.
Yeah.
Isla Fisher.
I interviewed her, yeah. Actually, I interviewed both of them and they're both lovely.
I'm glad to hear that because I really liked both.
Yeah, they're both really, really nice.
Then we see Maggie's shop has got stock.
Yep.
And she's got a fairy house.
Yeah.
And
also, Shelby knows what's up immediately.
Oh, yeah. The look she gives her, I'm like, fair play, Shelby.
Yeah.
But also, the little kid who's miserable and has, you know, feels like she's got nothing to live for is walking by the shop and she sees it. And then Shelby's like, oh, maybe some other time. And I'm like, bitch, let her go in.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that made me be like, okay, actually, Shelby's, I'm not Tim Shelby now.
Mark is not great in that either because...
Holly he's dragging her from the shop.
Keeps on nearly having a breakthrough at the fairy house and he keeps on dragging her away.
We have to go back to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, shut up about your coffee.
Yeah, he's a real man, isn't he?
Yeah.
And
they try to make it seem real authentic with like their, you know, Arabian roast car, whatever the hell they have that's like not just
There's
filter
a line
coffee.
Where he goes about the coffee. Which way am I going in this book?
That is some amount of notes you have there on Christmas with Holly.
He goes, something you watch on your phone, that's a lot of notes.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this Ethiopian.
Oh yeah, it was Ethiopian.
I started laughing loads. So, yeah.
But island life, I mean, you have to get excited about the little things.
Hmm.
They have Wi-Fi like though.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
they have free Wi-Fi, don't they, around a lot of the islands.
That's true.
In Ireland. And they probably have it over there as well.
Hmm. I would say owning the one good coffee shop on an island like that was quite a,
You'd have a, some good, swagger.
A good job. Yeah, I'd say he's pretty well known.
Yeah.
They do a really good job of casting the brothers to look like brothers.
Yeah,
they all did look like brothers.
But Maggie and her sister looked nothing alike whatsoever.
No.
But the brothers they did a really good job on.
Yeah.
Maybe the person who was to play Maggie's sister fell through.
Hmm.
Maybe they're non-biological sisters.
That's true.
Yeah.
Shouldn't assume.
And that's just another thing that's not explored.
Yeah. Hmm. And then they have to cook Thanksgiving for Holly. They want to make her dinner and
make an absolute hames of it.
Yeah. The lads have never cooked a turkey before. The house nearly goes on fire.
He goes to turn on the sweet potatoes, which they call yams, don't they, in America?
Yeah.
And they put the oven to auto cleaning thing.
Yeah. So that gets screwed up.
They forget to defrost the turkey. Classic.
Yeah.
What were they doing with that? Like lowering it into
deep frying
water?
It.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I'm not a chef.
Deep frying it from frozen is a bit, I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not about to, of all the things I can critique this movie for, I'm not going to critique their cooking ability.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you can deep fry a turkey.
Not from frozen.
You can deep fry anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
Especially in America.
Yeah.
There's a classic overheard conversation then, a true window.
Yeah, classic,
where they don't think he's up to
the job.
There's
never any follow-up after that either.
There's not really.
No.
He doesn't mention he overheard them, but he does get angry at them.
Does he though? And is there ever any repercussion?
Nothing.
So what do they say? They're like, he's not, you know, able for this, and she shouldn't be with, like, oh, I don't know.
Like, in these films, nothing ever wrong ever goes on for too long.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit later then, Hottie goes missing.
Yeah.
But she goes missing for about 60 seconds.
Yeah, and she's in the toy shop. Looking at the fairy house.
Yeah. And again, just the right amount of missing child. Just a little taste of missing
child. I thought
it
was going to happen again when she was with the other brother at the beach. I thought she was going to, some water accident was going to happen there.
I thought something terrible was going to happen there.
Now they've already done that once, and they can't just keep doing that to us.
Yeah.
What did you make of, like, Maggie and Mark's encounters? Did you feel they had any fire whatsoever?
The Irish dancing.
Yeah.
I actually said no out loud by myself in a room when it happened.
At one scene, Maggie's talking about things she's into to Mark, and she mentions set dancing or Irish dancing.
Yeah.
And he's like, what, like river dance? And she's like, yeah. And then she starts doing it. And she just literally walks around him
it's
and
not Irish
kicks
dancing
stuff.
At all.
Her horrible boots.
Because her name is Maggie Conway, according to IMDb.
Ah.
Yeah,
so she does, and then she slips because
would
girls
you say
slip.
She applied for Rosa Tralee for Seattle.
Eloise Mumford or the character?
No, Maggie. Was she a Seattle
Rose?
Yeah.
We
should write a script for Hallmark where it's about the Rosa Tralee.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also, did you love how Hallmark just kept popping up in the middle of the movie? It was very...
On the YouTube.
Not so subtle advertising. It's like, by the way, Hallmark made this movie.
I love when you're in the States and you turn on the TV and it is, you're like, oh, this is what it's like to develop epilepsy out of nowhere. There's so many ads. You're like, oh, cool, I feel sick.
Yeah.
So when you think the Irish dancing has, you know, a little moment, then it comes back again later on where they're in a bar and she gets up and she does more bloody Irish dancing.
But it's kind
also
of cool Irish dancing this time, isn't it?
Cara goes up to her brother who's in the band and goes, play something Irish. Oh, yeah. And it's like, not even slightly Irish. It's like Dropkick Murphys kind of.
Yeah, Dropkick Murphys. Yeah. When I lived in Toronto, that was being played everywhere. And
she gets up, makes it absolutely feel
it's awful. And we're 46 minutes in and Vicky, the dead mom, is mentioned.
Given a bit
of an errand. Up until that, you're like, what happened?
What happened to her? How did she die? Also, no one, apart from it, them trying to figure out what to do with the child, none of the brothers are remotely grieving. Or, you know, they're not going through anything themselves, from what I could tell. It's just like, oh yeah, she died a few months ago. And they're just getting on with their own thing.
Yeah, it's your first Christmas. Like, in Ireland, you'd be debating, do we put up the tree?
Yeah.
You know?
<That's> so I felt like they weren't. None of them really seem.
They weren't.
It's just like someone
the
they
passing.
Knew.
Yeah.
Died.
Doesn't seem to affect them.
Mm.
There's a really. I thought the scene where Holly goes on a little trip to the seaside with her uncle Alex, the guy who's a fisherman or something, and a scientist.
Yeah.
And the scenes, like the camera flashes from her to him and it keeps going back and forth and he's doing movement and she's just staring at him and there's kind of slight synths playing. Did you notice that? Maybe that was in the National Gallery, it's synths playing and I'm taking the synths from my head.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, well then that was... That didn't happen.
No.
But anyway, there's all these like flashing frames back and forth and I found it really unsettling. And then eventually the last frame flashing towards, she starts smiling because there's a starfish. And I was just like,
I
know,
because
that felt
flashing,
scandy to me.
Because of that synths, flashing, you think something bad was going to happen.
Yeah. Like the starfish was going to like sting her or something. Because Alex was kind of a fuck up till then as well. I mean, they kind of bullied him because he was a smart one, which I didn't like.
Yeah,
but,
uncomfortable man.
Yeah, Scott is kind of toxic masculinity-ish in a lot of this.
Yes, very toxic.
Yeah. But he does, he changes though, it's okay.
Does he though?
He cries and he puts her on his shoulders, I think.
Oh, I suppose, yeah. He does cry.
So,
long
you
know when
cries,
a man produces a tear.
Yeah, it's important.
Changed for the better.
Yeah. Changed forever.
This film did make me very broody.
Really?
Yeah, I thought she was super cute.
She was very cute.
But then when she started talking, not so.
That actually occurred to me halfway through is that she seems to be better than most of the child actors in these things and it's probably just because she's not talking.
Yeah.
She just has to look sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really sadly, Alex loses his grant for his scientific research, but he makes Parmesan.
Oh yeah,
Parmesan
eggplant
bake.
Parmesan.
Eggplant Parmesan. Yeah.
And they make it, but you know, they kind of really focus on the fact that it's good, which I thought was really nice because I thought that was a precursor to everyone's going to end up in dialysis because he put the wrong mushrooms in.
I thought it was because he just had a brainwave, I'm going to become a chef.
That's what I thought it was heading towards as well.
Maybe because his grant had fallen through.
There's not going to be a sequel.
And he got his grant back at the end as well. So.
And I love throughout the whole thing, there's no psychologist.
Also, yeah, so I had an issue with that, okay? So in this school, and was it, who else? Someone else brought it up about, like, you know, maybe it was in her old school and in her new school where the authoritative figures were like, maybe, you know, she could talk to someone to get her through this period. Yeah. And his reaction is kind of so, it's just so typical. It's the problem with mental health is in, like, that's a weakness and we'll be fine. And he takes it as an affront almost to suggest that maybe she needs help. And I personally was like, oh, maybe she does and it's not a bad thing. Like, maybe she can talk to someone.
Yeah.
She's a child.
And then she names the fairy in the fairy house. Her breakthrough is when she speaks and she speaks to Maggie and she names the fairy after her dead mom, Victoria.
Yeah.
And that's like the first word she says. And at some stage she doesn't seem to know that her mom isn't coming for Christmas.
Oh, that's very sad.
So they have not handled this well.
No.
No.
She wants to go back to her old house to get her Christmas decorations.
Yeah. So they did need a psychologist.
If my mommy comes back and they're like, she's not coming back. I was really interested to see how he would handle that conversation. And the older brother was like, that's one for your Uncle Mark.
I loved the bit where they explain her grief and stuff. Like, oh, it's okay. A little bit, bit of her lives on in all of us. And they brought in genetics and DNA and all this to it. And I was like, well, this is going deep into the epigenetics kind of stuff. Because I don't know if any of you even noticed. You're going to notice now once I've said this. Everyone's writing about epigenetics lately. Like every Irish essayist type of person on go. And I'm just there like, you get a, like, you know, Wikipedia epigenetics. And you're like, I can make an essay about this. Mm. It's happening a lot lately.
It's new anxiety.
Yeah. No, empathy is the new anxiety.
Oh, yes.
Empathy is the new mindfulness.
Oh, okay.
So everyone's going to be like, how to be more empathetic. Mm. So that's kind of in the wave. And then epigenetics
is going to
come back.
I think it should be how to be less empathetic.
Really?
I think empathy is a problem for a lot of people where you empathize. This is like a complete and utter spit off. But for me, I empathize so much with people that it actually affects me negatively.
Oh,
so that'll be
like,
I'll write
so
that article.
Much bad stuff happening.
Yeah,
that you're kind of feeling all of it.
Yeah,
and you kind of need to turn some
of
it off.
You kind of need to have. You need to be a little bit like blinkers on, selfish.
Yeah,
that will follow the empathy trend, the non-empathy,
the backlash.
Trend.
Yeah. Speaking of genetics, we never find out who Holly's dad is because she never tells them.
No,
and she lives in Seattle, so I'm decided it's Fraser Crane. Is Holly's dad or Niles or
I was
Bulldog?
Christian Grey.
Yeah. Oh, was that in Seattle as well?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Looks
that's probably
the first
conveniently
movie.
Why your one got cast because they were filming it in Washington.
Yeah, maybe. I have to look at the dates, but that would make sense. Two birds, one stone.
Was it 2012? So,
I think when so. Was one?
No, they didn't shoot. I read 50 Shades of Grey. I read 50 Shades of Grey before it was published as a book, which is one thing that I'm strange.
Oh, when it was still like Twilight Names.
Yeah, so I would have been on forums and stuff or reading blogs and there would have been like everyone was talking about reading this and I read it in one go before St. Patrick's Day just because I can speed read a bit and it was terrible then and it was terrible now but fair play to her.
Yeah,
she has made a lot of money and also that book when it was published helped loads of other people get published so and yeah I don't think I get a bit annoyed when I see a lot of the next book now will be out soon and I'll have to read the same op-ed again and again and again about being anti-feminist and it's this carbon footprint all over the internet, this whole trend. And you're like, some people love it, let them off. Mm. Like, I just don't care anymore. And, he breaks up with Shelby at some stage.
Yeah, when he goes to, because...
Because they go out with these friends and then...
Yeah. Oh, they're the only people of colour in all the films you've watched so far are their friends.
When I got that, I got a bit of a jolt. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Someone who's not white.
They get
in one
line,
film.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the man even gets to speak.
He just gets a concerned look.
Yeah, but the woman, Shelby, just says about the girl being resilient. She's like, oh, don't worry, she'll be resilient. And about not going home to her when she's a tummy ache.
Oh, yeah.
And the friend discussed, like you would know accusation.
You don't have kids like you would know. Oh, yeah, that was very pointed.
Yeah. So that was very good. And
So Holly's sick and Mark can't relax because he wants to go home and make sure she's okay.
Yeah, and I thought she got sick from the Parmesan?
The eggplant Parmesan.
Well, it said she had a fever, so it must have been just...
Yeah, and I thought maybe some of those little creepy collies had gotten into the eggplant. I thought it was going to be a whole plot and I was like, oh, food poisoning.
She had that starfish disease that's going around.
And then he eventually goes on a date with Maggie.
Yes, he asks her out.
Yeah, and Maggie goes, and Maggie makes a lost face, and then she asks Mark, what's going on? Which I liked that.
Mm.
Can we talk about their date, though? It was very heavy going for a first date. Like, he cleaned out the coffee shop and said, and there was about 4,000 candles lit around the shop for their dinner. Do you remember that?
But I suppose, like, if you're on an island, I don't know, having not lived on one, like...
Well, we do live on one.
Yeah.
But a little island. I suppose, like, you kind of, you're like, maybe he just wants to, like, get it right straight away. Like,
but I don't
there's
know.
Not plenty more fish in the sea in this scenario.
I don't know. I think, like, first date, you want to make an effort, but not go overboard to the point that it's like a crypt where you're having dinner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm all for candles, but I just felt like, whoa, this is like date number three.
Also, he just broke up with Shelby like 48 hours ago. Yeah. Probably less.
And she didn't care at all.
Again, is a theme.
But yeah. Actually, also, she, only after they go on the date, she's like, I'm not in the business of stealing other girls' boyfriends. Like, well, you've already had the date.
Mm.
So why didn't you ask that question beforehand, before you lit 4,000 candles? Mm.
Maybe he's, because Shelby broke up with him, because she was never going to be first, he wants to put in a lot of effort up front with Maggie to make sure she
lure
feels...
Lure her in.
Yeah, well, lure her in, yeah. Yeah.
Get a surrogate mommy.
Mm.
Actually, a lot of this... Are any of you familiar with Changelings?
Yes.
Yeah, so you
know, I watched the movie.
Yeah, so I kind of felt that, could you argue, this is now June 1950s Ireland's past life. Could you argue that Holly was a changeling? And I'll just leave it at that. Discuss.
Comment below.
Yeah, comment below. And also the whole fairy element. I was just a bit like, something up here with this kid and these fairies.
Yeah, if this was an Irish film, you'd be like, get away from those fairies. Yeah.
Mm. He'd be like, call, well, maybe not call the priest. Never call the
priest.
Although, well, I thought the fairies was kind of
for
sweet.
An exorcism, you would.
Yes. I did make it, it did feel like she was convincing her that her mom is a fairy who lives in like a tree. And I don't know if that's helpful.
Oh, Tino.
Yeah.
Mm. I remember I was talking about something, a primary teacher once said this to me. We were talking about people being into things. And she was like, oh, sure, every morning I lead my children in a chant to a man in the sky. I was kind of looking at her like, she doesn't know my background or anything. But I was like, okay. So, like, you know, we are telling, you know, it's funny how we handle debt and where people go. And
yeah.
So maybe some people do want to think of their mammies as angels trapped in little mini houses.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe.
Whatever works.
Whatever helps Holly get those words out again, I guess.
And then she says Victoria, and then it's just there's no stopping her. I thought there was going to be a bit more.
Then.
Mm.
Yeah, you can't shut her up then.
Yeah. They didn't need psychologists. They didn't need experts in this small town.
They needed
the experts.
They just needed an outsider.
Yeah.
Alex is her favourite uncle as well.
Yeah, didn't know where that came from.
Yeah.
I guess not the starfish guy who looked after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but then we know why she says that.
Later on, yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. We're basically at the end of the film now, so we can get to that bit now. Yeah.
So she says that Alex is her favourite uncle, so is the older fella. And then she says, and can you be my daddy?
Oh, I got really emotional
there. Did
you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it was kind of sweet.
I welled up.
I don't know for a different film, but yeah.
So I just want to ask people, how did this taking care and inheriting an orphan movie compare with other ones? Oh, look, I've inherited a movie, an orphan movie classics like Raising Helena or Helena. Have you seen that one with Kate Hudson? Oh, guys. Kate Hudson plays like a fashion exec or something. You know, she wears over the knee boots. I think it's the boho period and she's in New Manhattan loving her life, and then her sister is out in the suburbs. She's two sisters, and one is Joan Cusack, who's real serious, and the other is mother of like Tree, and then the mother of Tree and the father die, and Helena arrives out to like the lovely Long Island or whatever Connecticut house. She's been left the kids, not Joan Cusack, and Joan Cusack's really pissed off. So Helena has to take these kids into New York where she's working, and she ends up moving jobs. And
it's a bit like Baby Boom. I haven't seen that either, but
kind
I know
kind of like
Diane
Baby Boom
Keaton
in a way.
Baby.
But Baby Boom, she sets up a business, and there's a lot of corporate stuff on that. And Sam Shepard plays the vet she falls for, which is, you're like, whoa, big guns here. And in Raising Helena, she ends up falling for a local pastor played by Aiden from Sex and the City.
Okay.
And like, yeah, it's weird, but... I think she wears Ugg boots in that movie for some reason. It's like that era, but it was Kate Moss, Tree Kids, that she really should not have been let take care of.
Diane Keaton was in another movie recently. I don't know if you've seen it. I can't remember what it was called, but it was with Michael Douglas, and they're kind of old folksy in this.
Oh yeah, and I've seen it on Netflix.
Basically,
I haven't
get a kid that they have to. Well, it's his grandchild. His son goes off. He's a heroin addict. Goes off to jail. He gets left with the kid. He doesn't want the kid at all, and then he kind of falls for the kid, and then she becomes a surrogate mother.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
There's loads of cases in Ireland at the moment where they're not letting grandparents have the kids, which I think is horrific. And it's not a topic for this podcast, but it should be a topic in the news more often because I think it's a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the Journal. I think I've been covering a few of the cases. But yeah.
How serious is the, you know, when you say someone's like a godmother, or, you know, you're saying you're going to be the guardian.
It's like in legal documentation.
I feel like it's very much just like, you be the witness at our wedding. Will you be the godmother or father?
It's not like that, because I know a guy who had guardianship in place. So his father had died, and his mother got in place because I think she had had a health scare. I think she was fine after, but she set up guardians in place, and they were his friend from primary school's parents because they were all only children. Like, it was a generations of only children. So he didn't really, all his cousins were quite distant. And he had a guardianship in place with his friend's dad and mum, where he was a teenager. And it is a legal thing because Robin Williams looked after Christopher Reeve's son, didn't he, your child?
Really?
Yeah, he became a guard. I think he was a legal guardian. So you're basically there to administer their estate and money and stuff like that. And then when they reach the age of majority, you can release it all to them.
But is like being a godmother or godfather,
it's not an automatic thing. Yeah, yeah. That's a church thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you think Holly would have wanted to be emancipated if she grew up when she grew up?
No, I think she's going to have a pretty nice situation there.
Yeah.
Like
three uncles, Maggie, a dog.
She's got two summer jobs.
Three men and a little lady, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it could have been more so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There could be more hijinks between the brothers.
But like, what happens to Maggie and Mark? Do they like? They don't even have a fight, really. They don't. Well, I suppose they do, kind of, where she's like, the child's always going to come first.
Really weird with Maggie in that she gets jilted at the altar, and that like avenue of her life is closed. But suddenly she throws herself into all these new things and is now a stepmom.
Yeah.
And it's like she's trying to make up. So it's like when she's going to meet her ex, he'll be like, oh, meet my fiance. This is awkward. And then she's like, oh, meet my family and my business and my island.
And my dog.
Yeah, because she is a tourist to the island, a frequent tourist who sets up shop there. So she's a bit of an interloper. So maybe Maggie is changeling in Jean's creepy changeling theory.
Maybe.
Or something. I don't know. I have to Wikipedia changelings after this.
I think, well, we didn't see anybody go into a fairy fort. So that's probably one mark against your theory.
There is a fairy house.
There's a fairy house, which both Maggie and Holly
are
deeply invested in.
Absolute fair play to that girl who did the fairy doors in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, such an idea. Yeah.
What a.
Wish I thought of that.
Yeah. There is some people look at things and they're like, oh, penicillin. Wish I thought of it. Something like that. And you're like, no, fairy doors.
Yeah.
Fairy doors. Yeah.
Genius. I felt kind of robbed of like a hot and heavy scene in this movie, though. I know it was like family, kids, and everything.
I haven't seen a boob in a single movie. We've watched these.
No, their kiss was not great.
No, it really wasn't.
No.
Yeah,
there was no build up. I didn't care. I did not care about the fate of their romantic relationship.
I cared about Holly.
Yeah.
And I cared about Alex losing his grant, and he gets the grant back in the end.
You cared about him losing the grant? I didn't give a shit.
And he gets his grant back closer because he was supposed to have to move to Maine to do it.
Yeah.
To study lobsters, but now he's staying in Washington.
Lobsters. Yeah. No, I didn't care.
It was a psychology of lobsters about, or something like that, wasn't it?
Do you ever see a thing about there's these lobsters and they farm them, and in some part, maybe Maine, they farm these lobsters and they're brought in, and then they give them blood, not like blood transfusions, they take blood donations from the lobsters and they're using some kind of necessary medicine, the platelets in their blood, so it's blue blood. And so they're bled and then they're let back out into the ocean to build up all their pints, and they've got like little trackers on them. So maybe he's studying the psychology of those lobsters, because if you're a blood bag, that would affect your mental health. Like Jodie Picoult's My Sister's Keeper.
Or Never Let Me Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have so much knowledge in your brain. And I'm not sure how much it's useful.
No, it's not. I'm in college at the moment, part-time. And I was in a class and I was talking with someone. And I was like, well, I was reading on Wikipedia, and everyone in the class just shuddered. They're like, Jean, read the actual text. The peer-reviewed stuff.
Thank God for Wikipedia.
So I'm just bringing up conspiracy theories in class, and it's like, I shouldn't be here. People talk about imposter syndrome. I don't have that. I just have, maybe I should be here syndrome.
That's great.
Me at like the White House security briefing. Yeah. Maybe I should be in this meeting.
That's good. That's the opposite. That's what you need.
Yeah.
That's so, going against the curve, the trend now. Everyone has imposter syndrome.
Sometimes there's too much confidence.
Yeah.
Do you have any stray observations or notes?
Because
that's the end of the film.
Donuts are mentioned a lot, and I thought that was topical.
And makes her donut cake, like a tier of donut cakes. Yeah.
Oh, speaking, we remember saying how rushed the end of the film is.
Yeah.
Like their first date, the misunderstanding, Alice getting his grant back, their festival of boat lights, and their kiss all happened the last like 10 minutes of the film.
Mm. Love the boat light festival.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, really lovely. Nice.
You didn't mention it's like just a load of yachts with lights on them.
Yeah, that looked around. Amazing.
I liked how that was like felt like an authentic,
good boomerang,
local kind of tradition.
Yeah,
you know, like, that is like something you haven't seen yourself, but you can kind of accept that that will be a thing that would happen there.
And they seem to make a moment of when Holly said to Alex, her uncle, "Will you put me on your shoulders?" And they all kind of looked at each other as if this was like really significant. Was it? I don't know why.
No. Oh, yeah. Maybe because she was into the lights and she hadn't been into anything.
I suppose.
Just wanted to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small victories and all that. Mm. She was very cute. I also really liked that there was no drama for her in school. When she joined that second school, I said, okay, they're going to tee us up now that these are the little kids are going to be little bitches.
Oh, yeah.
And bully her or something.
They're really nice, yeah.
And they were just really nice to her. And then he came in and she was having lunch and actually was like, I don't need to be here. She's grand. I thought, I was like, well, thank God for not dragging us through
and
the emotion of that.
I liked how the kids were all stranger danger.
Yeah.
They were like, what are you doing here? Sorry, where's your pass? I was like,
yeah, that was
vigilant.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I suppose in American schools, you have to be vigilant now, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So tragically, those children are on guard from day one. Michael Flatley gets a mention.
He does.
Yeah.
Two River Ants mentions, which is
more
than I was expecting. I was very surprised by the Irish dancing part of it. But how bad it was, mostly. But
Irish dancing is big, though, still, like...
In America?
Yeah, but like girl we used to work with, she was mad into Irish dancing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's still...
I feel it's quite niche, though. I think it's bigger. People think of it as Irish more outside of Ireland than we actually want to.
But like there's flas and stuff, isn't there? Like they're on around the country.
Oh, yeah. No, my sister-in-law used to be in all the competitions and stuff until she's about 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And then once you get past there, there's very few people still doing it in the competitions. Like there was one girl who was like 28, but she like... And she like... cut short her honeymoon to come back for competition and stuff.
Jesus.
So the ones that are doing it then are like super into it.
Yeah.
But again, it's mostly a kids thing here, I think.
I'd say now there'll be some fitness class around Irish dancing.
Reinvigorated
some. When do you start that right now? Get it.
Yeah. Caroline, do you want something else on your plate?
Yes, I do.
Irish dance and fitness is going to come back now.
How to channel your empathy through an Irish jig.
You need a separate upper body workout because your arms would stay right.
Maybe
by
you
your
could
side.
Just do it with weights, though. Just hold the weights by your side and jig.
You can have 2 kilos.
There we go.
You can wear weighted arm things.
Yeah.
You'd get on to QVC right now.
Okay.
With this new Irish dancing fitness solution.
You sound more into it than we are. Maybe you should do it.
This could be your fairy door.
Okay.
And I couldn't sell it.
I feel like I've had many a fairy door.
I do not
idea,
look like an Irish dancer, whereas both of you could realistically be Irish dancers.
I also have a terrible TV movie watching and Wikipedia reading habit as well. So, you know, there's been many avenues in my life.
Yeah.
I'd love to write like essays of things I've turned down or like fall through my fingers because I had to give a lecture in Dublin Business School there last year. I don't know why I was asked in, but I went in anyway. And, I just went through like opportunities in my career I missed out on. That was like one thing I was like, yeah, you probably should say yes to a lot of things. And I was like, for instance, I could have started my career 2 years earlier when this person asked me to come and intern in a magazine. But I said no because I didn't want to go on a commute out there. But like it's all these things of like areas where my life could have worked out really well. Like I was saying to my sister about someone last night, I was like, it's funny how people's lives work out. So, you know, maybe I had a fairy outdoor idea and it's gone.
Maybe you could do your own TV movie because they don't seem to have to be that great. Like, I think yours would be.
I think we kind of know the formula by this stage.
You probably know better than most of the execs in Hollywood or wherever they make TV movies.
Yeah, Vancouver. They're all Vancouver. All the sporting actors are all French Canadians.
I have an idea written down for a TV show for RTE.
Don't say it on here. They'll steal that right from under you.
Hope they do. People get paid. Where it would be a series set in the Cayman Islands. That was we were talking about the Cayman Islands in another TV show.
In the last episode, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, because there's loads of Irish lawyers over there, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, dodgy Irish lawyers in the Cayman Islands thriller.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. Lean Cunningham could play like a local guy who's been there years and kind of runs the place, and kind of like he could be the Matthew McConaughey in the Wolf of Wall Street character or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, look, it's going.
Who would play you in a TV movie?
I don't know.
You would
probably pick, what's her name? Dakota Johnson.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
I'd love to look like her.
Especially when she has her hair short.
I loved How to Be Single.
Yeah, that's
great. No, it did have a few jokes in it that were like not nice, but I laughed a lot.
In what?
In How to Be Single.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a few things. So I do feel guilty about enjoying it. I feel, well, that's life now, isn't it? It's going to be the future film.
Yeah.
Every movie.
Oh, my God, every movie.
Be like, you're going to be like, oh, I love that movie. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, I never paid more attention to the credits.
You won't be able to tweet about any movie now that was made before 2017. That's going to be the future. Mm. Of film watching.
They'll just all be archival.
People are going to watch movies like underground.
Yeah, it'd be like you watch Birth of a Nation in college.
Do you think we'll get that bad?
For studying it.
What was this?
Birth of a Nation is a film about like that. Oh. About how great the KKK are from 1918. Yeah. And you watch it in college as part of your silent cinema module.
Yeah.
But nobody like watched it to watch it because it's about the KKK and what heroes they are. And they come into like Flight of the Valkyries music to save white women from terrifying black people and stuff in it.
Oh gosh.
But that's what all Miramax films are now.
Yeah, so, but there's going to be like underground all, like, cinema Christmas clubs of watching like leading men Usual who are rapists and stuff. Yeah.
Gossip Girl. Is it Gossip Girl that he was in?
Yes. Yeah. Probably legally we shouldn't mention names.
But, yes. We've mentioned no names there.
Ed Westwick's under investigation. I know this is when you're not on Twitter.
Oh my God.
You know, you can continue your life in perfect ignorance. Being investigated at the moment over two claims, so we cannot say anything.
Oh, mm-hmm. What I also missed on Twitter, not to do with any of that, is that apparently Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez are back together.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy for them.
I'm like, really
young
happy.
Children. Well, they're not children. They're having fun. They're famous
kids. I didn't really
kids.
Feel like her and The Weeknd had chemistry.
Yeah, also, like, he was a new boyfriend and she got, like, a new kidney in the middle of it. Must have been a weird dynamic there.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's kind of sweet that, like, Justin Bieber would actually probably is madly in love with her after all this time and...
Yeah, I'd say that boy though.
Yeah.
Probably only they get what they've been through as well. They both had very unusual teenhoods, so.
Yeah, really
unusual. It's like when Michael Jackson and the guy who played Oliver and Oliver were best friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were both child stars who were ruined by fame.
Yeah, poor.
They were godfathers for each other's children and stuff.
Were they?
We did a whole Oliver episode. Yeah, I know a little about this now. But yeah.
God, Ed Westwick. Chalet Girl is ruined for me now. It's great.
Yeah. That's life now.
Yeah.
Loved
well, like I watch Clark Gable and Errol Flynn movies all the time. So, and they were bad lads.
Yeah, I watch Fatty Arbuckle comedy, so I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
I suppose
it's
going
to be interesting how people watch movies.
Because,
Like, if someone told me I had to watch like every Ellen Page movie in the world, I would just be like, I just won't watch a movie again. I know she's cool and all that, but like, no.
Do you not like her?
No, I think she's lovely and she has made some good movies. But if you look through the list of everything she's made.
You could watch Juno, Whippet and Inception. That'd be a good...
Didn't like Inception.
Weekend, didn't you?
No. Hmm. The only Christopher Nolan movie I enjoyed was the third Batman movie because I thought...
The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, I thought Anne Hathaway looked amazing in it. Yeah. I thought her lipstick was lovely. Fashion was great. Thought she had a good swagger and thought Tom Hardy was hilarious in it. And the rest of the movies, I'm just there like, these are overblown and serious. And I did like Interstellar, but I didn't like the cop-out ending. I think there's a really interesting story to tell about the Earth dying.
I watched that on a plane, so at like late at night, so I kind of feel like I was in the right fuzzy headspace for it.
I feel like movies that you watch on a plane never really go in.
Like any Bradley Cooper movie, like Limitless. I watched that on a plane twice.
I think I watched that on a plane as well.
It's like, it was on. I was traveling a lot that summer and I saw it in so many planes. And you'd be like, after taking your sleeping tablet, and then he's taking a drug and you'd be drinking, you'd be like, whoa. So I always thought Limitless was like amazing.
There's a Netflix show now called Limitless, I think. That's like a
series
version.
It. Yeah.
Fair play to the original writer for getting blood from that stone.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Brain Drug, the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bradley's an asshole, though.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Oh. I don't. There's no like allegation. Oh, I don't know if there's any allegations about him, but he's just not very nice.
You interviewed him, did you?
Yeah, he wasn't very nice. I was like, hi, Bradley, nice to meet you. And he was like, Fradley. I was like, no, no, I said Bradley, and obviously make the effort to know what your name is before I walk
into you. But also, like, sorry, you mightn't have had a tongue. And you could have mispronounced the word. And just, you know, if he was an actor worth his salt, he would have been visiting hospitals and sick places, and he would have been really nice. And if he heard a speech impediment, he would have been sound.
Yeah.
Maybe like, I say all my B's like with F's.
I always remember how you say how nice Tom Cruise was.
Tom Cruise was very nice.
Yeah.
He's just such a smooth operator.
A former entertainment.ie
editor. Yeah, I used to be a movie editor, which is bizarre because I feel, and I have a master's in film and TV, yet I feel like I actually don't know very much about film and TV. But Tom Cruise, he's just so used to it. He'll give everyone his time. When I don't agree with a lot of what he does, and obviously the Scientology stuff is a whole other discussion. But as someone that you'd interview in that, and a lot of the times these people can be very like, whatever, you know, this is a waste of my time. And he just was like, you know, he'll look at you and actually engage and listen. So I always had kind of respect for him in that regard, not to make you feel like dirt, you know, on a red carpet.
There's a good archival clip of him on the RTE archives, which is one of the best websites in the world. I don't care anyone says. Really? I can spend ages on
it. I can't figure that out, that website. I find it very hard.
It would depend on what device you're looking at it on. On tablet and screen it works very well, desktop. On the phone it takes a while to skim, but there's a clip of Tom Cruise at the Interview with the Vampire premiere, and he is so nice. He's talking to all these provincial journalists and he's just being lovely, and he's like, yeah, I love being back in Ireland, back here next year for Far and Away, and like no one else involved in the movie is bothering talking to anyone. Like Neil Jordan just goes, sure, if people like it, they like it, or and this is kind of like, and isn't that being interviewed on the red carpet? Meanwhile, Tom Cruise is out there signing autographs.
Yeah, he is good like that. Yeah,
and
I brought up Far and Away. I was like, well, I'm probably the only Irish journalist who's going to bring up the fact that he's been in Ireland before.
Yeah. Great film. I think so.
I was in the audience when Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, Kevin James and David Spade were going to interview together for Grown Ups in RTE. Oh. And David Spade was actually the soundest of them.
Really?
He was like the one who was like looking out to the audience, engaging with the audience as he was being interviewed. Where the rest of them were just kind of, if you didn't laugh, we were actually told beforehand, if you don't laugh enough, they will leave because they're very famous and we only barely have them. So you have to make sure you laugh at everything they do.
Oh God!
And they kept on like looking out at us to make sure they were laughing at we were laughing at them and stuff. It was
that
quite
so
needy
pathetic.
Of them.
The whole cast of Daddy's Home 2 are going to be in.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
I said that's going to be interesting.
Did you see that tweet saying it was Joe.ie Christmas?
What?
It was Joe.ie Christmas that they're all that Mark Wahlberg.
I was in the. They did a pre-record for the Late Late Show the last time for Daddy's Home, the first one, and I was in the audience. Were you with me for that?
No, Ellie went.
Oh yeah. Okay. And it was very early in the morning, but it was. They were nice, but I don't know about the other guys in it. Mel Gibson, who else?
John Lithgow, who seems fine.
He's supposed to be lovely.
Yeah.
He has like a whole side career that he doesn't publicise as a children's entertainer.
Wow.
He like does children's music and stuff and does little concerts.
But Mel Gibson, to me, doesn't seem that much older than Will Ferrell.
For someone who has lived quite the life in regards to alcohol, Mel Gibson is looking surprisingly not ragged.
He had work done.
He goes to South America and gets his blood changed.
Does he? Okay.
With Dan Blazerian, he posted a picture of him and Mel Gibson at a blood transfusion clinic.
Yeah.
Going, why isn't this legal in America yet?
Well, they could replace all the blood.
Yeah.
And what does that do? Make them look flushed and young?
They do it in Silicon Valley as well.
Peter Thiel does it as well.
Where they're going to make young children blood bags. Mm. Basically like Mad Max is going to happen.
Yeah. Or at the lobsters in Maine.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they were. Take out your shitty blood.
You get then the plasma and all the platelets.
And where does blood come from? Young people. What happens
to them?
Poor
people who donate their blood.
They like give away
poor people donate
one
their
or
blood.
Two pints. Yeah. And because then we can give a pint and it regenerates itself within a couple of weeks or whatever.
So can I sell my blood?
That's the black market. People are already selling their platelets. Because I remember that was mentioned in Gone Girl. Gone Girl, the book, is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's mentioned they like go down and interview people in like a platelets place, but like it really shows you post recession or recession America, and a great book, really good. I feel like it's fallen into like that paperback world now of like, oh, the next Gone Girl, but the book itself, I remember reading it being like, whoa.
Jesus, how do we go from Christmas with Holly to blood transfusions in South America?
Lobsters.
There lives the lobsters, yeah.
I think the fact that everybody comes back to blood transfusions. Yeah. The mother probably had to get a blood transfusion when she was dying.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
That's it. So, would we watch it again? What do we think of it?
Yeah, I'd watch it again.
Would
I
watch a sequel?
Thought the production value was really good. There's not going to be a sequel, but I would watch it.
Yeah.
So, it was based on a series of books, yet they're not going to go any further.
No.
That's great, isn't it?
And in the second book, Scott, the curly-haired builder bro, mm-hmm. he ends up courting a girl who's been jilted at the altar, because in the original book, Maggie's a widow. So they've put two characters together. So a girl who's jilted at the altar.
Another girl has been jilted at the altar.
No, not another girl. Like, Maggie isn't jilted in the book.
Oh, okay, okay.
So a girl's jilted at the altar and is in the town, and he's told to like go on a date with her by the guy who jilted her. And she ends up realising their relationship, because they end up falling for each other, of course, is built on mistrust and something, or distrust, whatever. A lie. And then in the third book, Alex is an alcoholic. And
twist.
Ends up, some girl breaks through his barriers, and there's a ghost as well. That one sounds good. I might read that one. I've read loads of Lisa Claypass's books, and if you are going to read
Do you recommend them?
I'd recommend, she's one called Sugar Daddy.
Oh.
But Sugar Daddy itself isn't great. It's the follow-up to Sugar Daddy. It's called Blue-Eyed Devil, and it's got characters in the first book, and it's about a trailer park guy called Hardy Cates, done good in the oil world. So if you hate fossil fuels, I wouldn't read this, because it's about oil baron people doing well.
Hate fossil fuels.
Yeah. So, but like, it's good, but it also explores domestic abuse. So her books like go into like that kind of lower class Texas world with the higher upper class kind of Dallas and all that. It's good. Houston, I think it's 7. And then that one's good. I'd recommend that. And she also has a few historical novels. One of her most famous books is called Devil in Winter, and it's cited as one of the best romance novels in recent years.
Wow.
And it's really good. It's set in a gambling club, and the girl in it has a stammer, and the main guy is a former man slut who, you know, meets a magical vagina, and he's totally
changed.
And yeah.
Are you going to reach out to Hallmark and tell them we've spent a good chunk of a Saturday talking about their amazing movie?
We should. We haven't tagged a bunch of people.
I doubt anyone has ever done this for that movie.
But you know, one of Hallmark's or Lifetime movies, one of their big actors was in Dublin last week, because I follow him on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah, he plays Jack Hyde in the 50 Shades movies, Eric Johnson. He was in Dublin last week, because I only saw him. He was like having his last Guinness, and I was like, he was here? Because he seemed like good fun.
Yeah.
He plays a stupid character.
Did you see the second 50 Shades?
Oh yeah, no. I left it and I didn't want to be touched by a man for a while after.
Did you notice at the end the way the guy you're talking about there, Jack, is like on the side of a mountain, but his eyes are like, he's like, he's got this dark eyeshadow and eyeliner to make him look really evil.
I like how they obviously just spent all the money in 50 Shades on the marketing.
Oh yeah.
None of it goes in the
All those bus stop ads. Yeah. Nothing is in the actual
They're
movie.
Like, listen, lean startup style here. And I'm looking
forward to see the third trailer now. I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't watched the full thing through. I will be going to the cinema to see it, because it's a tradition now at this stage.
Oh yeah, Valentine's Day. Yeah. Is it out again?
And we got given out at the last one by girls, because we kept laughing and they went shh to us. We just went shh back and laughed and bullied them out of it. But we were great, because we had the guy on the lines behind us who were like on our side. So, because they were there for the laugh too. But the third one, hopefully the last one.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully they won't do any more.
Well,
spin-offs.
I presume if they've any brains now, Jamie Dornan and Dakota wouldn't have signed on for anything more than 3.
Yeah, that was bad. This last one was really, really bad.
I think he's a shite actor.
Yeah, because I thought he was really good in The Fall, and then I realized, oh, he's just standing
he's just
there.
He's the same. He's just doing the same thing in every movie.
But in The Fall, he's just standing there staring at women as he kills them. So you're like, anyone can do that.
I could do that.
Yeah. No, he's terrible. I saw him twice in real life. He is very good looking.
Yeah.
He is a beautiful looking man. But she's a good actress.
I like her. I do like her, yeah. But again, she does play similar roles where she's like, meh. She's kind of moany and mopey. Yeah.
I think, do you know who I think is going to do really well? She's friends at Riley Keough.
Oh, I love Riley Keough.
Riley is going to like win an Oscar in the next few years. But I think Dakota.
She's a hair inspo of mine.
Is she?
Yeah, when she went red. Yeah.
I'd love to. I can't hold red colour. We should stop there, shouldn't we?
We should definitely try wind it up.
Yeah.
Let's do the thank you bits.
Okay.
So, thank you, Caroline.
Thank you.
Everybody go buy her book, owning it.
Oh, thanks very much.
Book
awards. Thank you.
I think this will be out after the awards, but...
Okay, well...
We're sending good vibes.
If you didn't vote, fuck you.
Thank you to Dee McDonald for the artwork, which we love.
And thank you to Daniel Noel McCauley, Esquire, for the music, intro music and exit music. He's used loads of instruments and a computer in that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you got his middle name mentioned.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the middle name.
I don't have one.
My wife doesn't have one either.
Really? Mm. It's her name, did you say her name is Caroline?
Caroline.
Oh, Caroline. Okay, yeah. Maybe it's something to do with that, because like, Caroline don't have a middle name. My mom said I was special enough on my own, and I still to this day I'm like, well, you never gave me a middle name, so I still feel like less than. It's probably where all my anxiety comes from. I need a middle name.
Identity. Okay.
There we go. Next week's film is Recipe for a Perfect Christmas from 2005. It's the oldest film we've done yet.
Yeah.
Can I come back to that one as well?
You can listen to it. Yeah.
Just watch it and text us. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see you then. Bye everybody.
Bye bye.
Bye.
HPN, the Head Stuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.